Thousands of years have gone by since Adam and Eve's first sin, when God gave them a promise of a Savior who would win. Words from the Baby King, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas arch book. The Baby King would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Baby King.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, this is a story of the apostles, Peter and John, and they rather inadvertently come across a man who expects them to do a miracle. And, well, actually, he doesn't expect them to do a miracle. He wants something from them, and what he gets is a miracle, what perhaps he didn't expect. So how are we to understand how things like this happen? A man who isn't able to walk, or in the ministry of Jesus, often a man who is deaf or blind, or beset by some other disease or infirmity. There is some connection to sin, isn't there? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, December the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Peter and John healing a lame man in Acts chapter 3. A little bit later, Pastor Ted Geese joins us. We're going to be reviewing two movies, Justice League and Murder on the Orient Express. We'll talk Lutheranism and philosophy with Dr. Gregory Scholes, professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and Anna Mussman will join us in the last few minutes of the program. Talk about ways your family can celebrate Advent, what she's learned, she says, by living with an Advent stickler. Feel free to join us with questions or comments over the course of the next 2 hours. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Peter and John healing a lame man in Acts chapter 3. He is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
Can we learn something from this account and the many others of healing in the New Testament, and maybe take the opportunity to teach the Sunday school kids about the connection between our fallen world, sin, and these kind of infirmities that we suffer?
It is clear that when Adam and Eve fell into sin, it wasn't just negative repercussions on them. It was negative repercussions on the entire universe. In the Garden of Eden, prior to that time, there were no earthquakes, there were no hurricanes, weather was fine. But when sin came into the world, death and the ramifications of illness took place. So it's a very clear distinction that illness and disabilities, such as this layman, came about because of the sin of Adam and Eve, when, of course, they went and hid from God, and spiritual death occurred in that they were no longer willing to meet God because of their fear of Him, because of what He had said.
So there's a definite connection. I mentioned before the disciples' question about the man born blind in the Gospels. Who sinned, this man or his parents? It's a pretty natural question for us to ask, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And then you have a situation, Matthew 9, people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And what were the first words that Jesus said when he saw their faith? Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And of course, the scribes thought that Jesus was blaspheming until he said, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to rise and walk? And then this is a key verse to also understand the layman. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And so that's where the connection that Jesus himself makes between forgiving sins and healing the results of sin.
So should we note that the apostles, and this is, I think, among the first miracles recorded in the book of Acts, there are certainly others, but should we note that the apostles are now doing the same kind of miracles as Christ himself did?
That is absolutely correct, but you need to remember in our text, in the Sunday school lesson, Acts chapter 3, verse 12, because what they say is, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified this servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. And then they go ahead, and his name, by faith in his name, in other words, not the name of the apostles, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. I like to make this distinction. I have no power to heal anyone. I have no power to baptize an infant. I have no power to forgive anyone their sins. But I have the authority to do so. The authority given to me by Jesus himself. Remember the absolution. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When I was a kid, I used to think that it meant instead of Jesus, I'm doing it. No. Instead of Jesus means in the place of Jesus. So you cannot find one occasion in the Bible where sins are forgiven or people are healed by the apostles where they take the credit for it. They always give credit to the faith in Jesus which the man has. And that's how you make the connection between eternal salvation and the healing of infirmities, diseases, and so forth that took place due to the fall of Adam and Eve into sin.
So the other thing that I wanted you to note here, because, and it takes us to the very end of the story and a little bit beyond, is that this miracle that is performed here is not without its consequences. In the course of explaining what has happened, as you just referenced, they catch the attention of the Jewish authorities, and eventually Peter and John find themselves in trouble.
Yes, that's chapter 4, where Peter and John appear before the council, because the captain of the temple and the Sadducees were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they arrested them, put them in custody. And that is something we should just expect, particularly in our day, where people may laugh at us when we talk about resurrection from the dead, but they get angry at us when we talk about the morality of the Bible. And that's what we're really up against in our age to a much greater degree than Christians were even a few decades before. A Christian, the message seems to have lost its influence in what's called the naked square, where people gather to talk about what they believe or what they don't believe. And due to various philosophical points of view and postmodernism, people say, okay, you can believe what you want to believe, but you don't say that I have to believe it. It's a personal choice that people make. And so we, too, are being persecuted in our day because we stand up for the message of Jesus Christ with both the law and the gospel preached appropriately.
So the man is simply expecting to receive some kind of money from the apostles. He's just begging for alms.
Well, normally alms would include money or food. Interestingly, he has been lame from birth in much the same way that the man born blind was lamed from birth. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. Now, in that day, being lame, being blind, these kinds of things, they were such that you were not allowed to go into the temple proper. You had to stay in those areas where the women were, where the children were, where the Gentiles were. Because there was, as you mentioned earlier in John 9, the man born blind. Who sinned that he was blind? His parents or himself? There was just that kind of thinking. And therefore, if you were lame or blind, that was a consequence of some kind of sin that you had done. So part of the reason I believe Jesus was crucified was because he was taking away what they thought were the consequences of sin to people who did not deserve to be able to walk or be able to see if they were blind or be able to speak if they were mute. And therefore, you have in Jesus a fulfillment once more of a promise that is found in the Old Testament. It's in Isaiah chapter 35, when it says that your God will come and save you. That's verse 4. Then listen how that saving is discussed. Verse 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. And what happened when he received that wonderful strength, when Jesus took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong? And listen to verse 8. Of chapter 3 of Acts. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. Now, I find that very comforting in light of the Isaiah 35 passage. He's doing exactly what Isaiah said would happen when the Messiah would come. And where did he walk to? He didn't go to the nearest McDonald's or White Castle. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Remember, he had not been permitted to enter the temple because of being lame. And what a wonderful example to all of us as we recognize the benefits God has given us, not to go running after temporal gifts as much as we run to the church to give thanks and adoration to God who has done for us what he did for this lame man. The most important thing, the forgiveness of sins.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk more about Peter and John healing the lame man in Acts chapter 3 and go into a little more detail on how Peter explains this and how he, in this very brief sermon that he preaches, the second of his sermons, again, accuses the people of murdering Christ and calls them to repent and have that same forgiveness of all their sins.
Mm-hmm. This Christmas, bring your family and friends to experience a reenactment of the Christmas story and Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Enjoy a live nativity, warm drinks and cookies, and live music performed by student groups.
From 5 to 8 p.m. on December 22nd, come to Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, to enjoy this Christmas experience for all ages.
Admission is free, and when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a custom piece of art made by our students.
For more information,
call 618-656-0044.
Merry Christmas!
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features issues that center a guest, Dr. Jan Lohmeyer, and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. He's host of a radio program called Law and Gospel, and you'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. So you mentioned before, Tom, that Peter explains this by saying it is by faith in his name, that is the name of Jesus, that this man is strong, and you know that it is through faith in Jesus that this man has been given perfect health in the presence of you all. But he doesn't stop talking there. He's already accused them of having killed the author of life. What does he say after that?
What he says, and I'm happy that this is the Sunday school lesson for this coming Sunday, because, of course, the gospel for the second Sunday in Advent is about John the Baptizer. And remember, he was to bring a baptism of repentance in preparation for the forgiveness of sins. So every sermon that talks about this needs to have both the law and the gospel. The law is found very clearly in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Now, this is really important, because repentance also is a work of God. In the sense, look at Luke chapter 15. I think we there find the definition of repentance. A lost sheep is found, picked up by Jesus, and returned home. Now, what had to happen on the part of the lost sheep in order to be picked up? He had to recognize that he was lost. And Jesus ends that parable, I tell you, there's more joy in heaven, not over a sinner who is found, but over a sinner who repents, than the 99 who refused to repent of their sins because they didn't think they were that sinful. This notion, therefore, of repentance is also found in the Pentecost sermon that Peter preached, when the people say, what can we do? And he says, You need to repent and be baptized. Now, that word baptized is in the passive, not in the active form. In other words, it's something that God is going to do to you rather than you're going to do for yourself. And the word repentance is put right there. And God loves to hear repentance. Our earthly fathers and mothers may not like hearing of the sins we did during the day, our disobedience to them. But God, the Father, loves to hear it, because when we repent of our sins and turn to God, we are giving all of the credit of our salvation to Jesus Christ. And that's why the lame man, the very first thing he did after asking for alms, which is normally money and food, went into the temple to worship and praise God. A wonderful example for the children and for us.
Then he seems to be pleading with the people here at the temple that he kind of refers to, and we would call it the Old Testament. He goes all the way back to Moses.
Yes.
Mentions all of the prophets. He even includes Abraham there. And he says, this is the one that God raised up and sent to you first. Why is that emphasis so strong there?
What he's talking about is a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. A lot of people think that when we speak about Israel being the chosen people of God, that that meant that they were the chosen ones to be saved. No, they were the chosen ones not just to be saved, but through whom the whole world, all the nations, will be blessed. Abraham, when he got that promise from God, it didn't say, and Isaac will be a blessing to the house of Israel, period. No, Isaac will be a blessing to the whole earth. And so, for some reason, God chose the Jews through whom would come the Messiah. And, of course, that was what we'll be celebrating in a few weeks with the conception of Mary, the marriage to Joseph, and the birth of Jesus as a human being. So in that sense, the Old Testament is true to itself. And what I found interesting in verse 25, that Peter talks about the people to whom he is speaking as sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and here he quotes what I just said, and in your offspring, that's Isaac, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Because God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first, namely to Israel, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And so all he's doing is talking about a chronological ministry of Jesus, which, of course, expanded to the Gentiles, and there are a number of examples where Jesus forgave even the sins of us Gentiles.
I think a question might come up with some of the older kids, and certainly it occurs to adults, and that is, Peter seems to be a very accomplished Bible scholar all of a sudden. He seems to have a kind of almost miraculous knowledge of the scriptures for a fisherman, albeit one who followed Jesus around for several years. How would you explain that?
I'd explain it from Romans chapter 3, where what happens when you get converted, God promises to give you knowledge and understanding. This is why I tell you, Christians need to go to church and Bible class every week, because reading the Bible alone doesn't give you the insights that a trained pastor has been able to preach about. And when you hear those additional insights, that additional knowledge, you are more comforted, love Jesus even more than when you came into the church, and therefore you will exhibit more fruit of the Holy Spirit spontaneously because of your love for what Jesus Christ has done for you.
This, as we mentioned before, is the second of Peter's sermons. There will actually be a third one as well. What do we see about the message of the early church from the first two sermons from the apostles ever recorded?
It is a reminder that the Old Testament books have prophecy in them and promises that Jesus has fulfilled. And we're reminded of, in my view, the road to Emmaus, where Jesus makes very clear to the two disciples that all of Scripture is about Him. And therefore, we need to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. It's very important then to understand that when we read the Old Testament, when we read the New Testament, we haven't finished the study until we find where Jesus is located in each passage.
Finally then, Tom, the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school kids this week.
The simple law and gospel is the law gives us the impression you're having a hard time in life because of your sin. And the gospel says that may be accurate to the point that God, though, has forgiven your sins, that He will work out all things to your good, He will never leave you nor forsake you, and the hundreds of other promises now become yours. So we no longer live by sight, looking at our experience to figure out how God reacts to us. That's living under the law. But we now look to the Scripture and His promises to be sure that we can be assured of salvation and heaven as our home.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Ted Geese, and we'll review two movies. One, Justice League, where, in so many films nowadays, superheroes assemble to fight evil, and Murder on the Orient Express. Stay tuned.
I was standing in a pulpit doing this sermon on Good Friday. I was contemplating and planning my own death.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Today what I'm going to talk to you about is the story of depression and mental illness, and especially the story of how this fits with the gospel and what incredible treasures we have as Lutherans who kind of get two kingdoms, body, soul, and spirit, who understand what it means to suffer.
You can listen to Pastor Peppercorn's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression, on an audio DVD from both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Comfort, comfort, ye my people. For unto us a child is born, good news of great joy, the titles of Christ, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christmas card themes produced by Ad Crucem. Send a greeting card this Christmas season that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. AdCrucem.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com. ADCRUCEM.com.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com,